Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Morning. Kenny! Who calls a balk in 2024?
You want to power rank your favorite balks?
Well, somebody reminded me of a walk-off that the Guardians had as Drupal Cabrera walked
it
off.
That's right.
Like 7-8 years ago or something like that. I'm like, well, that's clearly my favorite, so there you go. And I figure, well, I guess, like Joy on Twitter, she listens, she lives out in California. Great listener. And she sent it to me, and I went, wow. And I went, well, I guess we had to pay the fiddler at some point, and here we are. It was a weird, weird call last night. So the Guardians played Boston last night. By the way, time of the game, 1 hour, 49 minutes.
My kind of baseball
that
game.
That was outstanding.
Especially with playoffs, NBA last night, I'm like, boom, done. Obviously would have liked the game to get extended in extra innings and maybe win that game, but I'm like, we've won a lot of games this year.
It was
over to the playoffs.
It was great. I mean, it sucks that they lost, but I got to tell you, though, I had to respect it because it wasn't that they lost. The balk call was garbage. I'm going to get back to that in a second. But the opposing pitcher, Tanner Houck, was so good. I'm like, I can respect this performance. He was so good last night. I'm like, this is a... He was terrible the night before, or the outing he had before against the Angels. And I'm going, well, he's a pretty good pitcher. Let's see how it goes. And my God, was he good last night. So I'm like, all right, you know what? You went down against a great performance. It's the way she goes. Okay, fine. And then... I'm just thinking about that balk call the entire time because I'm going, hey, you know, Ben Lively had a pretty good outing too.
He was great.
Gave up a solo shot. That was about it. But I still don't understand the balk call.
No.
And I don't think, but that's my point. I don't think anybody understands the balk calls. I don't think anybody understands balk. I honestly thought that balk is really something that little league baseball managers start yelling about from the dugout. Like, that's what I always think that balks are. I'm sure Mitch, in his experience, umpire... I mean, how many guys, while you've been umpiring, Mitch, have been yelling about balks?
Especially not at the major league level, no. And my level, it's only about two or three.
At a lower level, this comes up all the time because...
I think it comes up constantly.
Yes, it does.
Constantly. When I umpired back in the day... Now, I was never a big OHSAA umpire like you. Even though I ended up in some high school games some way, somehow, but I think we'll keep that on the hush-hush years later. There was always hearing some guy, balk, that's a balk. Guys, that's a balk. He's balking. It's a balk. And we're going, I'm not doing that.
I always laughed at what was the point.
I'm not
point,
writing
Kenny,
parking
what,
tickets here.
What was the point of the balk? What was always the intent of the balk?
So
it was so that you couldn't deceive the runners,
yeah,
right?
Even though... Like, it's a lot of people pointed out, Nestor Cortez is up there doing the whole Mr. Burns on third base and the Daryl Strawberry episode, like, he's pitching, and somehow that's not a balk.
We've played him. We've just gone up against him.
Yes.
He does a fake. You can watch these videos. He even does a fake throwing motion before he throws it at times.
Unbelievable.
Just as a goof. And I kind of like it as a throwback. Like, that is, to me, such a throwback to baseball from a different time. And when we were growing up,
there are people paying hundreds of dollars to see the Savannah Bananas do that.
Yes,
stuff.
I have.
Yes, exactly. Right. I got locked out, by the way. I couldn't get in the lottery.
Maybe next year.
For the Savannah Bananas. Sarah's not happy. Now she's asking me to use favors. And I'm like, I try to use one favor a year for an event, and I have to use it for the Savannah Bananas.
I'll tell you right now, Savannah Banana jerseys, like the style and everything, big on the Little League circuit.
Bigger than Caitlin Clark?
Yes. Hold on that. I know you want to get to that. We'll do that at 6:40. Oh, yeah. But I do have the revised code, the Major League Baseball revised code of this.
Thank you.
Do you want to play the audio first of Vote and Ben Lively and then get to the revised code?
Well, wait, just to...
Or do you want me to read the revised code
first? Hold on,
before
we get to it.
It is tedious.
We were going over what was the point of the balk. You were an umpire. I was an umpire. Mitch is an umpire trying to get gigs. What was the point of the rule to begin with?
To not throw off... Like, once you're set, not throw off the batter. Like, honestly, like... I said the same. Maybe Mitch was different. I'm sure Mitch was. Like, I swear to God, I'd turn around and look at the guy and go, we're not doing parking tickets today, guys. Like, he's set. He's come set. We're going. I'm not doing this. Because I just think you're messing with pitchers then if you're doing that. Like, you're set to me. Let's go. Throw the damn ball. Let's get the hell out of here before 8 o'clock. Come on. And then they get upset about it. But then again, you know, I only had to throw out a couple of guys during my illustrious 12 years as being an umpire. Thank you very much. I know. But I'm like, we're not doing this. And so when I see a balk, I'm like, who calls a balk in 2024 anymore? But apparently there is a rule. You want me to play the audio first? Let's play the audio first, and I'll get to the tedium of the call. Here's Steven Vogt on the balk call on Ben Lively that happened last night that led to the first run of a 2-0 loss.
They changed the rule this year that you have to declare whether you're going from the windup or stretch. He did not declare with the new hitter, and evidently that's the new rule. I didn't like it. I understand that's the rule, but we didn't get that explanation. No excuse. We just need to declare every hit. They assume that you're going from the stretch unless you otherwise declare, even though it looked the exact same as the hitter before. But that's the rule, so we learned.
He said a rule this year. What I found was... that this was created 7 years ago because of David Price, whose pitching windup was nearly identical to his setup from the stretch. A lack of distinction between the two motions caused confusion for base runners.
Good God.
Which is why MLB, because you were talking about the batters. Mm. This is one about the base runners. So they MLB began asking pitchers with unclear motions to declare.
I do declare.
It's
oh, yes, sir, God Almighty. Yes. Slap my ass and call me Sally Jesse Raphael. I do declare I will be pitching from the windup. You want to play the Ben Lively?
I want to hear you do that Sally Jesse Raphael line again.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
you record it?
I felt like I said something, but it happens. It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
he felt like he said he clearly didn't say it. Like, he did not declare, sir.
We were all totally confused.
He did obviously. Not demand satisfaction.
And I think the average fan does not know to begin with, other than the obvious, which is you're set, you have come to that still position, and you have to follow through towards the plate. Like, you can't step here, throw there. That was always one of the obvious tells of the balk when I was younger.
Yeah, his windup, he's more... turn towards third base like you would be from the stretch, and his front foot is to the side instead of straight out in front of him.
They call it the hybrid stance.
Yeah.
Tell
I've
us
seen
more.
It a ton.
Tell us more about the hybrid.
Feels
so
like
our,
the crab
all
dribble.
Our vehicles are going hybrid. What about our pitcher stances?
I mean, with the pivot foot being parallel to the pitching rubber and his, you know, non-pivot foot just to the side, that's essentially the hybrid position. And if he wants to be in the windup, he must declare that he's using the windup.
He must declare, yeah. Sir, yes.
How must he declare?
I think you have to, like...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I mean, make a gesture to the umpire, like say to the umpire, like, hey, going into the wind. I think you have to make it, you have to make it obvious from what I've seen.
Well, first FDR has to go to the podium and then.
Now, does the umpire have to acknowledge?
I don't know.
Mitch, have you ever had to go, I give you credit for your now stretch?
I have not. I mean, we've had issues with the hybrid position over the last year or two, so we're still trying. I think it's still being figured out at my level, but at Major League Baseball,
it's still being figured out. You need to know, sir.
You are the
police of the field. It doesn't sound like you do. You just said you did, but it doesn't sound like you do when you said, I know, but then you started with, we're still trying to figure out. So which one is it? I need a rule. I need to not just try to figure it out.
From what I've seen, the high school rule, it's not allowed, the hybrid position. But Major League Baseball and NCAA, they have this similar rule that you have to declare whether it's windup or stretch.
According to the official baseball rule 5.07A2, a pitcher will be permitted to notify the umpire that he is pitching from the windup position within an at-bat only in the event of I, which is one, a substitution by the offensive team, or two I's, immediately upon the advancement of one or more runners, i.e. after one or more base runners advance but before the delivery of the next pitch. Well, it's clear there. I mean, hell, right?
There, yeah, I mean, you go. I'm sitting here watching this on repeat. I don't know.
He didn't declare. You got to declare, man. And clearly, you know, there you go. That's what happens to poor Ben Lively.
But otherwise.
Otherwise, good outing.
Yeah, I thought his stuff was pretty good, right?
Yeah. Other than that, it was a good outing. Good outing. So there you go. 149 game time. I enjoy.
Would have been even quicker without the balk.
It would have been like 148.
Oh, that's Oof. Good. They did talk about that for a minute.
That was, yeah.
Well, they were
that
like.
We would have got game. That in there.
On the broadcast, they were.
140, maybe.
Did they ever get clarification on the broadcast?
Not
really.
Because
like later in the game, Underwood was like, we still don't even know. And so I don't think they got any sort of clear clarification on it. On what exactly had transpired last night on that one. So, I don't know. But either way, 12-6 is still a good record. That's still fine. You have any other opinions on this game last night? I know you switched over to the basketball.
No, yeah. Kwan had his hit streak snapped. It'd been 8 games. I love the bounce back this year by Stephen Kwan because we were thinking 2 years ago that this guy was Ichiro. I mean, he could slap the ball around, yep, at any point. You could not get a ball past him. And then last year, all
came
of a sudden,
in batting 372 last
year.
Yeah,
all those metrics last year were starting to go in the wrong direction. You're like, oh, they got the book on him now. The pitchers have grown accustomed, especially the ones that have seen him in division. And this year, he has come out firing. It's like he has made the adjustments. And that's how you know this guy is going to be really good for a long time, is that he's been able to do that. So yesterday it snapped, but it just reinforced just how good he's been and how good I think he can be this year, how important he is to that lineup.
Yeah, you know, it's a. I think that when he started talking about trying to hit for more power, like I didn't know what he meant by that, but you're hearing about, because I think when we hear power, we hear home runs. And this is because you got to give credit where it's due, because anytime they go into a slump, and they'll go into a slump, it's a Major League Baseball team. They all do it, and they do it more than once in a season. But when they go into a slump, we like to go after hitting coaches and say all types of nasty things about hitting coaches. You know my whole feeling about it. I go, midseason, does it really fix anything when you make that sort of a switch midseason? And Chris Valleca a couple years ago, even last year, caught a lot of hell. And I do think, now, there's a lot going on here. I don't want to make it sound like I'm throwing Terry Francona under the bus, but it's going to kind of sound like I'm throwing Terry Francona under the bus. Like, you hear how he talks when they do get a chance, because, I mean, he's just the hitting coach, so it's not like they get a chance to talk to him before and after every game like they do Stephen Vogt. But when I hear on the broadcast, both, you know, TV and radio, where it's like, hey, like, Last year it was more, we're just happy to get somebody on base or get a bat on the ball, where this year we're trying to be aggressive. You know, a strikeout is not the worst thing in the world, where before it was. Like, okay, what happened in the strikeout? What did you do in the first two strikes? Like, there's a lot of stuff. And then there's emphasis on driving the ball. And that, I think that's what Stephen Kwan's talking about when he's talking about hitting for more power, like getting it out in front, driving the ball, trying to get it to the alley, and trying to get, hey, if you get a single, you get a single. You're a leadoff hitter. That's great. You got speed. You can get on base. You can hit the ball. That's great. But can we make it a double? Can we do some more things? Now, it's early in the season, and I think he has, what, two home runs, so it's not like he's Albert Bell out there, for crying out loud. But I think that that's part of the conversation. And so I have to go back and go, all right, were we a little bit too conservative over the last couple of years? You know what I mean? Like, when things start out so good, you sit there and go, well, there's a lot of young guys on this squad too. Why is that? So I don't want it to sound like I'm all of a sudden turning my back on Terry Francona and what I did. We carried a lot of water in this show for Terry Francona for a long time.
He earned it.
And he earned it for that. However, I'm looking at this, I go, this is a different type of feeling here.
Well, I do think what happens is, and this happens when you like get new coordinators in the NFL, you take all the good about your situation and then you say, and the new coordinator is going to change everything. We're doing that with the offense, by the way. Obviously, we are talking about that with the Browns. Oh, Van Pelt's out. So anything that was a problem with the offense,
yeah,
we've got a guy to come in and save it.
That's a good point. Like, if Watson throws really, really well at the beginning of the year, it's like, well, had to be Van Pelt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We love to do that. You're so right.
Look at Ken Dorsey. Look at what they're doing, especially play calling changes, too. So in baseball with the Guardians, they've been a really good team, obviously, under Tito. So now we assume as fans that we're keeping all the good of Tito, and now we're adding this new bonus feature. Yeah, aggressiveness. We'll see if it stands the test of time. I'm liking what I'm seeing early on, obviously, and it seems like these guys have bought in very early. But remember, never forget, the magic of Tito was being able to manage that over the course of 162, and we're very hopeful that Vogt, being a recent baseball player, is going to understand all that and make sure to hit all those markers that Tito was able to hit with his clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Easier said than done. Tito's don't fall off the tree like that.
Tito's don't fall far from the tree. That might be funny. All right, coming up at 8:20 this morning, Mary Kay Cabot going to join us on the show. We'll obviously talk about the Browns and the draft with her. However, 6:40, that's a kind of an odd thing to say to anybody, let alone Caitlin Clark. That coming up then. However, next, did the Cavs overthink it Sunday? Last night's results with the Sixers might have said yes. Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, take us with you to work in the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.